This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the recognisable voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good evening, Matthew. Once again, we're in person today. This feels nice.
It does feel nice. Quite remarkably, I've been invited into the hotel room of Richard. Never thought I would have the privilege.
Chaperoned up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you are in here. What do you think?
I mean, it's quite basic, really. It is quite basic. Which, the lobby of this hotel, we are in Stansted, so a Radisson Blue. Mm-hmm. It's okay, this is going out after after you'll be here.
We'll get a knock on the door.
Radisson Blue in Stansted. The lobby is delightful. Very regal.
Yep.
Makes you kind of feel empowered, I'd say. And then you come up to the hotel room, which leaves a little to be desired, I think.
A little bit basic, but do you know what? For what it's needed for, and to do a podcast, it's perfect.
I mean, wow.
An absolute dream. This is effectively, you've seen the Fozcast studio. This is effectively that. But yes, recognisable.
Yeah, well,
and actually, I've just touched on it there, but kind of giving away the punchline a little bit. But yes, recognisable. Should I tell my story?
Please do.
So, I mean, look, I don't really get recognised anymore. I didn't really back in the day, to be honest, unless I was around the Watford, Hertfordshire area. Then I might get the odd person that comes up or came up when I played for Watford. But I had it today. So I landed from a different flight this morning and got to security. Oh, so this is part of the story as well, is that my passport doesn't work. So, you know, the automatic gates doesn't work. Hasn't ever worked. Do you want to know why?
No surprises.
No, no. Do you want to know why?
Go on.
My surname is Lee. Anyone with a surname that's Lee, you will not work in the automatic passport gates. There you go. Some interesting news for you.
Because fact.
Unbelievable. I've been told it. And again, they've told it several times. So, sorry, sir. You've got the surname Lee and it's a dodgy surname, basically. And I don't know, again, what the thinking is behind it. But yeah, Lee is a surname. You can't get through. So anyway, I've always got to then queue up and I've always got to go into that special little line. So I always do the whole, I mean, now I don't even do the fake thing of kind of pretending to try and use my passport and then go into that. I just go straight to the other line. Queued up, got to the front, and I could see straight away the guy was looking at me and he's looked at me for a few seconds. He's gone, I know who you are. I was like, okay. He goes, you're Richard Lee, aren't you? I was like, yeah, I am. Yeah, he goes, yeah, I saw you on the Fozcast. I was like, all right. Okay, excellent. That's what I'm known for. Great stuff.
Nothing to do with your career. I thought he was going to say because of the Goalkeepers Union podcast, at least.
That would have been the dream.
I mean, the fact that he said, I know that you're Richard Lee, is he not looking directly at the name on your passport at this moment in time?
I mean, that might have helped him, come to think of it. Although he didn't, did he check my passport at that point? He was staring quite intently.
So normally, most people get quite a short shrift at passport control, but you've been welcomed.
Oh, it was then we had a nice little chat about, mainly about Ben. To be honest, that was kind of the crux of the conversation. And then didn't even really look at the passport at that point. Just, yeah, sent me on my merry way.
There you go. Who knows what skeletons you could be hiding?
This is true. This is true. Oh. So, I mean, I hope that his bosses at, which airport was it this morning? Heathrow. I hope his bosses at Heathrow Airport weren't watching.
Wow. You had to recall which airport. So let's actually quickly explain that. We are at Stansted right now. The last time we did a podcast, it had to be quick because in 2 hours' time, you were jumping on a flight. What's the journey been since then and where are you off to from here?
Yeah, lots and lots of meetings, America-bound meetings, which are very good. Met a few goalkeepers of note. In fact, I'll mention one of them because I spent a lot of time with Martin Paish, the Dallas goalkeeper. And it was actually quite nice because it ended up being him, the number two goalkeeper at Dallas as well, and a lot of the different people involved at Dallas setup. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to stay for their game against Inter Miami, which would have been enjoyable. But yeah, just doing the rounds. And then this week it will be heading over to Belgium to go and see a couple of lads over there, go and meet with a couple of the clubs over there, back to the UK again. I'm sure we'll catch up again next week to meet with a few clubs and actually do an agency exam, believe it or not. So FIFA have now brought in new rules, which I've been an agent for a period of time, obviously, but they took away the exam. It must have been maybe 6 to 8 years ago. So anyone that had passed the exam before that point, they're fine. That still counts. But obviously, there's been so many agents over the last 6 to 8 years, whatever it's been, where very simply, if you wanted to be an agent, all you needed to do was pay an amount online, 300, 400 quid a year, whatever it is, and you are an agent. It was as simple as that. It was so simple. Now they've brought back the exam. So if you hadn't already passed the exam, you now have to pass the exam. And there are two exams every year. So I have been spending, that's the other part of this week, I have been swatting up. First time I've revised for a test in about 20 years. It's been really difficult.
What kind of test? Like multiple choice? Or have you got
multiple
to...
Multiple choice. Okay, yeah, right. And there's 20 questions. You've got to get 15 to pass. And they're tough. Really tough. Because it'll be things, it'll be details that you wouldn't necessarily look into, or you might pass on to a lawyer at that point if you needed to know a little bit more. But yeah, now I've actually had to learn how to become an agent.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll find out. When's the test?
A week on Wednesday.
And when do you get the results? Straight away, like a theory? Like a driving theory test?
Assuming so. Yeah, so it's, fingers crossed it'll be good news.
Lovely stuff. Okay, well, there's plenty going on. We've just finished watching the extraordinary encounter between Liverpool and Arsenal. 2-2, that one finished. Aaron Ramsdale, wow, what a game from him. On with the show.
Let's do it.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Okay, so like I said, over to Anfield we go. Liverpool 2, Arsenal 2. Now, you, Richard, speak a lot about big saves. You've spoken a lot about it on the podcast before. What constitutes a big save? What is a big save? It's fair to say, I think, that Aaron Ramsdale has made a fair few in this one.
He has. And do you know what? I suppose added to that, and we'll talk about the saves individually, but then we also talk a lot about mentality. And I think we're seeing that more and more from Aaron Ramsdale when we talk about a lot of the big keepers, where when it comes to those big moments, those that really do, you can see it. You can see the energy. You can see that they want the ball to come towards them. They want to make saves. And that's all I could think watching that second half was, I mean, certainly the one that he made top right, the footwork after the deflection to then go again. You know, moments like that, you can see he really thrives off that. And not all goalkeepers do, you know, and again, speaking from personal experience, you know, and I'm sure a lot of the goalkeepers listening in now, the last 5-10 minutes of a game and you're winning by a single goal or you're drawing the game, you know, how many goalkeepers out there are wishing for the final whistle just for it to be done? Whereas you can just see the energy that he's got, where he was almost wanting the ball to come to him and have another moment to show what he could do. And yeah, some of the saves in this were just outstanding. That one top right in particular was the standout one, although the one where he's moved across his line, where in the end the contact maybe wasn't quite what it could have been, and he's almost made it look comfortable, if that's a fair thing to say, but it was just the speed that he got himself back across the line and the bravery to throw himself and the prediction of where the ball would go, I thought was just fantastic. But the save top right, if you watch his footwork, because it's after the deflection, where I suppose if we were to give an example of the maybe the Karius goal that he conceded in the cup final being a good example, where to go again once it's taken the deflection is incredibly difficult because you've already started to commit to what you're going to do. But you can see that he sorts his feet out, gets another step in. So he actually ends up getting 2 or 3 steps in before exploding, because that is going right in the top corner. And I know I say this a lot. I feel like I say this a lot, but there are not many goalkeepers on the planet that can make that save.
Those were the two saves that were talked about most. There were two others, the one-on-one from Darwin Núñez, but there was another save from Mo Salah at 2-1, which looked like he was slightly unsighted, but there was a small bit of detail in that save where he's just given Alexander Zinchenko a little nudge. Just get out of my way. Just push forward a little bit.
Yeah, and again, it's, I guess, something we wouldn't ordinarily talk about because we talk a lot about the technical side of goalkeeping, movement, etc. But this was just the intelligence, because in that moment, how often is a goalkeeper unsighted? And of course, you can't blame the goalkeeper when they're unsighted, but he's actually physically made a way to make sure that he can see the ball. If he doesn't do that, he can't see the ball. And that ends up in the corner. And again, no one would blame him because he'd be unsighted. But I love the fact that he showed the awareness and intelligence in that moment to create a yard for himself so he could see it, which in the end allowed him to get up there. And similarly, good footwork, good explosion, and made a top save.
We'll carry on with Ramsdale talk in a minute and just the punditry towards him. But there was also a moment that's not really been touched upon because of the crazy end to that game. It was after the save from Konate. Arsenal went straight up the other end. It was 3-on-1. And then a ball was put through to, I think it was Martinelli, I'm not too sure, but an Arsenal attacker. And the positioning from Alisson was excellent to be able to get to that ball first. Because it was such a mad moment, it's kind of gone missed, but excellent goalkeeping.
The thing that annoys me with it being missed is that we had the exact same conversation in the last podcast where, was it Rio Ferdinand, was it? Who effectively kind of stopped, did a freeze frame and almost said, oh no, surely Alisson should be here, you know? And it's, yeah, essentially it's kind of, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whereas the fact is, Alisson does take up very advanced positions, reads the game very well, very aggressive in terms of that, and obviously tried to do it in that previous one. And it wasn't really highlighted in a positive way. It was almost, he should have been further forward, which again, I think no one really agreed with the punditry at the time. But this again is a good example where he is so front-footed, so aggressive. And moments like this, as you say, they don't make a highlight reel. Yet that would have been a one-on-one. That would have been a situation where he needed to make a big save or potentially conceding a, you know, a winning goal. But that doesn't get highlighted because it's not as aesthetically pleasing as a big save.
Two moments from the Sky Sports panel. We won't dwell on it too much because this is very positive and we're not trying to be negative here. But the first one, Roy Keane, who was happy to praise Aaron Ramsdale, but said, I don't really like praising goalkeepers because I think they get too much praise, which is just remarkable. And then Jamie Carragher and the moaning and groaning, not moaning in a bad sense, but moaning in the sense of moaning and just shouting. It really annoys me that, by the way, when the game's going on. Yeah, it just drives me insane. Like, come on, a bit of decorum, fellas, a bit of professionalism here. I like the fact that you're into it. But after the game, Carragher was in the studio talking about Aaron Ramsdale and admitted that he's never been more wrong about a player than he has with Aaron Ramsdale. But I just felt that as a top-level pundit that Jamie Carragher is, it was a bit embarrassing for him to then proceed to say he was wrong because it was a head-scratcher that Arsenal signed Ramsdale in the first place. Just his breaking down of the reasons why they signed him and what he'd done before was so basic, with no understanding as to why Arsenal, with their scouting system, decided to bring Aaron Ramsdale into the club.
Yeah, no detail. No detail at all. I think he went along the lines of, you know, at Sheffield United, he conceded some goals and you did wonder, oh, could he have saved them? And yeah, this season, you know, I couldn't understand why they bought him, but this season he's been top, you know, and it was so basic. Whereas, yeah, again, I guess that's what we like to do here is to actually break down the reasons that Arsenal did buy. Look, and by the way, I don't necessarily disagree with him in that when they did buy him, and certainly for the amount of money that they bought him for, given that the season at Sheffield United had been tough at times, there were some question marks as to whether that was going to be an investment for now, an investment for the future, what they'd seen exactly that then fit the Arsenal style. But then certainly as you look at it now, the way that, obviously we talk a lot about distribution, but we talk about distribution, talk about big saves, talk about the character, now it does seem obvious. But again, this is then breaking down into the details as to what they saw in him, which was, can he play the Arteta way? Well, absolutely he can. He's shown that on many occasions. Has he got the character to then step into an Arsenal team? And again, that was one that I guess was maybe a bit of an unknown because, you know, there had been some tough times at Sheffield United the season before, certainly when they were struggling down the bottom of the league. People talk about the relegation. So that was probably the bit that was the unknown. And that's where you've got to give huge credit to Arsenal, where they've seen something in him from a character perspective as well, where they felt, no, do you know what? The step up to a top four, well, top two Premier League team won't be an issue for him. But again, that's maybe going into just a little bit more detail. And we could go deeper than that, you know, in terms of how he plays, how he keeps goal, you know, in terms of starting positions, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I did just feel it was nice. It was nice that Jamie Carragher gave him some positive words and he has just had a very big performance, et cetera. But again, it is that, I'm sure all goalkeepers will agree listening in, where you're just crying out for a little bit more detail.
Excellent recruitment, though, from Arsenal.
Oh, I mean, now you look at it and yeah, it'll be worth multiples of what they paid him for. Still so young, absolutely adored by the fans, and really does seem to have the game and the mentality to deal with this.
Okay, we're going to move over to the game between Brentford and Newcastle now. Brentford 1, Newcastle 2. But we're going to start this with some clips, Richard. It's nice to sometimes go over old podcasts, isn't it? And this one is going to be as recent as last week.
And it's so simple. If you're an outfield player, just look at what Ivan Toney does. Copy his technique and there will never, ever be a save penalty ever again. And then we can just scrap penalties. Just make it a goal.
Thanks, Matt.
That's the first one.
Yep.
Okay, do you want the next one?
Go on.
Okay, feel free. You can talk over this if you want. Okay.
Even though I saved a good number in my career, never once did I save a Heide Helgason penalty. In the same way that I'd be very surprised if Ivan Toney misses a penalty ever again. Because I think if you're good enough in that you can watch the goalkeeper, you can walk up to the ball and you can see their movement and put it the other way. Or if they don't move, you've got the ability from 12 yards to put it close enough to the corner, you will score every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
That aged well, didn't it?
It did. Let's just recap a little bit of that. Hang on. Mm.
Copy his technique and there will never, ever be a save penalty ever again.
There'll never be a save penalty ever again.
I'd be very surprised if Ivan Toney misses a penalty ever again.
Ever again.
You will score every single time.
Okay, do you need to keep... I've heard it. Do you really need to keep repeating it?
No, that's enough.
Like, honestly, as soon as that happened, I had... And it actually made me realise how many people do listen to the podcast. Because I had a lot of messages. Have you seen what's just happened? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, cheers. Do you know what? And look, first and foremost, Nick Pope. Yeah, credit to you.
Legend. I mean, it's good. I'm glad we're laughing.
No, I know. Legend. Like, very, very good. Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about a penalty later, I know, from League 2, I think it is, which was just an embarrassment in terms of, you know, slowing down, etc. But this was so unusual for Ivan Toney. It was so unusual. I can't help but feel I've had some impact on this. Some, like, I don't know whether this is sort of some spiritual something. I have jinxed him in some way, because that wasn't an Ivan Toney penalty. I don't know what he was doing. He didn't wait for the keeper to go. He's just passed it. It's not even near the corner. It was a terrible penalty.
He scored his previous 10 penalties in the Premier League.
He waited for the keeper, put it in the other corner. This time, he's not even looked to the keeper, and he's passed it 4 yards inside the post.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like he's almost had an out-of-body experience, or like he's just switched off for a moment. Listen, credit to Nick Pope. Right.
Could it have been that it was against Newcastle? Could this be some factor, previous club?
Yeah,
I don't know. No, massive credit to Nick Pope. What Nick Pope does, and actually I don't want to take too much away from him, because what he does, he's got that little jink where actually if you do watch it, you slow it down, he does look like he's going to dive to his right initially and then does switch as it's taken at the last second. So he actually times what he does perfectly and nearly gets the second one. Now, but the second one is what I expect now to an extent from an Ivan Toney penalty, is that he's going to wait for the keeper. The keeper doesn't move, put it in the corner, you score, which is what he did on the second one. And even someone of Nick Pope's size, speed, couldn't get there. But yeah, it was just a really poor execution for the first one.
It's great though.
Yeah. Well, no, but yeah. I mean, it was just when I saw it, anyway, can we move on?
We can. We can move on to a fantastic save of the weekend contender I'm going to give to Nick Pope here for the header from Ivan Toney in the second half at 2-1 to Newcastle. Fantastic save.
Yeah, brilliant. Very, very good. I mean, you know, we spoke a lot about Nick Pope, Newcastle this season, and it was another one. Again, we spoke earlier about Aaron Ramsdale fitting into Arsenal and how he would fit in, whether it would be a good signing or not. I'll be honest, we spoke about it at the start of the season, Nick Pope fitting into an Eddie Howe team. You know, there was the question marks, Eddie Howe wants to play a certain style. We know that Nick Pope's a top keeper. Is he going to fit? Honestly, signing of the season for Newcastle, for as well as they've done, and I know is it Isak's getting a lot of praise and what have you, but I'm sure if you asked any Newcastle player, I'd be really keen to see and intrigued to see who gets player of the season at Newcastle. Pope's got to be top two. You know, I just think he's just taken it to another level from where he was at Burnley, and obviously was fantastic for Burnley. But yeah, in terms of his speed around the goal, shot-stopping ability, just finds a way to keep the ball out of the net, whether it's using his feet, whether it's getting down quickly. So agile for such a big man.
They were one up, Brentford. Spawny goal, I thought. Spawny equaliser from Joe Linton. David Raya, very unlucky here.
Do you know what? And actually, I think a lot of goalkeepers listening will have conceded this goal. I remember I did. I can remember it was at Vicarage Road, and I've got a feeling it was Crystal Palace. It was exactly the same on the angle. You come out and spread, and it's the inside of your leg and goes back into the goal. And I was given an own goal for it. And you kind of look and think, well, there's not a lot more I can do. Like, I've executed the spread reasonably well. There was a very small gap, which there will be between your leg. If it hit the angle and go back in on the goal, it's a really unfortunate thing to happen. And yeah, certainly no blame attached.
Elland Road, Leeds 1, Crystal Palace 5. What a result this was. And I was delighted to see Sam Johnston in goal. His first Premier League start for Crystal Palace, only his third appearance of the season. His first Premier League appearance since May 2021. That was incidentally an away game against Leeds, if you're asking. But he took to the game like a duck to water yesterday. I know that he's a first-class goalkeeper, but he's been waiting in the wings all season. And sometimes, as we've seen with a number of other goalkeepers this season, there's a little bit of ring rust occasionally. He just came in extremely competent, very comfortable, and some very crucial saves in that first half.
Excellent. You know, because, and we've definitely touched on this in the podcast, that I think, in my opinion, it's harder for a goalkeeper to step in after not having played for a period of time than it is for an outfield player. You know, where I think that a lot of the things that you're dealing with, you can't really replicate in a 23s game or in a practice game. And so to then deal with the atmosphere, like you say, Premier League, and it's a big game for them as well, down the bottom of the league, and incredible what they've done the last couple of games to pull themselves away from it a little bit. But just some big moments, some moments, you know, for instance, the free kick where he just took up a really brave position, held his position. It was going right in the corner, but he's got his angles perfect, got across to his right, good hand to it, lovely save down to his left, the sharpness that he showed. And that's, again, the kind of thing that normally would come with games. So to be able to hit the ground running, we speak a lot about mentality, and we've already spoke a lot about mentality on this show, but that does show big character to be able to step into a game like that and put in such a fine performance.
The equaliser from Palace through Mark Guehi. Not looking for a critique as such here, but more a technical explanation as to why Iemele. When I watched that, I thought that maybe his position was slightly lower than it potentially could have been. I look at it and I think, if he stays upright in a higher, more dominant position, does he potentially impact the chance more?
Yeah, so I know why he's done what he's done. And I kind of feel he might have slipped a little bit because he was very much on his line. His back foot might have even been behind his line. So he wasn't quite necessarily where he wanted to be. Didn't get the push off. The thinking is, if he can get there at 50-50, I get it. If they both crunch the ball at the same time, then it's a top save and it's a really good decision. And that's what he's tried to do. The fact that the attacking player got there before him, of course, that would be one where we speak about it a lot. If you can then get close enough to create a block, come out and spread effectively, and as you say, stay upright and maybe twist the body ever so slightly, hands down by your side, then you create a big barrier to then make the save. That would have been a better player in this situation, but he's obviously felt in the moment that he could get there 50-50.
Manchester United 2, Everton 0. Jordan Pickford with 9 saves in this one. He's 29 now. He turned 29 last month, and there's so much that's been said about Jordan Pickford over the years, but it almost looks like he's now, I don't want to say he's maturing into that type of goalkeeper that we expect him to become, because he's been an England international for so long. But you just feel like this season, maybe last season too, there's just been a shift in Pickford.
I'd agree with that. I think obviously player of the season last season for Everton. I think he's continued that this season. Obviously we speak to Asmir Begovic quite a lot, friend of the show. I think that as well will have had an impact. He hasn't necessarily had a number two like an Asmir Begovic, where you've got a really solid goalkeeping department up in Everton now. I think that certainly plays a bit of a role, because you can kind of get the impression, the type of character he is, he needs the right people around him, whether that is a number two goalkeeper, whether that is a goalkeeping coach, various coaches around him that can kind of keep him focused. Because look, when he's focused, he's so powerful, so quick. You know, the saves that he's made in this game, big saves at big moments. He relishes these types of games, as we spoke about with England many, many times. And yeah, I thought in this particular game, I thought he was very good. I think the save he made down to his right in particular, classic Pickford, you know, the speed and spring, good angle on the parry away. I thought his distances were excellent. I thought every time they came through one-on-one, and we see goalkeepers often do it where you're attracted to the ball and you want to just come out and try and make the block, but he held his position well and made big saves. And yeah, look, this could have been a much bigger scoreline without him.
So comfortable as well with the ball at his feet, as we know. And two pieces of distribution I felt were just worth a mention from David De Gea in this one. Very nearly sounded a klaxon ball over the top for Antony, who couldn't finish on that occasion. I think he was tackled. But a moment, around 78 minutes it was, David De Gea received the ball back, I think, from Harry Maguire, had no options, was being pressed, and basically just kicked it out of play. Nothing was really mentioned about it, but I looked at that and thought, I quite like that. I think you've taken the right option.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of them for me where, look, with David De Gea, I wouldn't say his left foot is, you know, talk about goalkeepers that are two-footed, etc. David De Gea isn't. He's obviously much stronger on his right than he is his left. And I think he's seen that situation, and it's probably just, for me, a really intelligent play. And I think, obviously, now a lot of the younger goalkeepers coming through, they are two-footed, and they're being in that situation. And, you know, on their left foot, they'd have no issue kicking it 60, 70 yards down the line and finding a winger. But I think if you know you haven't got that in the locker, then is it really worth swiping when you're so far out of position? How often do we see that when a goalkeeper swipes, the ball ends up somewhere in midfield and potentially someone's got a shot on goal with the goal unguarded? So I think in that moment of the game, with him being in that position, probably not having the most confidence on his left foot, just to play it 40 yards down the touchline out of play, knowing that your team are winning and that it's going in a good direction. And as you say, it's not something that's necessarily going to get noticed. So, and even if it does it matter? Like, you play each moment of the game. And in that moment, I just thought it was an intelligent play.
Four more from the Premier League just to finish up. It was Spurs, Tottenham 2, sorry, Brighton 1. Hugo Lloris, just interested to get your thoughts on the first goal and the disallowed goal too, which was absolutely ridiculous. West Ham beat Fulham 1-0. Lucas Fabianski read the advances from Andreas Pereira to help them to that win, West Ham, the 1-1. Dan Iverson from Philip Billing, good save from him, getting his run in the side now. Interesting to see how long that will continue for, especially if Leicester continue on this pretty barren run that they seem to be on. And Keylor Navas, a decent stop from Ollie Watkins in the first half, but let down by horrendous defending in the second.
Yeah, well, I think to mention Fabianski first, really enjoyed this. Just thought he read the situation well. And it's that classic one where, you know, that if you mistime it, you're going to give away a penalty, potential sending off, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought he timed it really well, read exactly what the player was going to do, got down and got that big hand to it to get it away, which I think in this situation, again, for younger goalkeepers listening in, that is the technique. You know, when they're coming in one-on-one and they push it to the side, if you can really spring full stretch and get that hand to it before the attacker does, it's such a good technique to have. With the Hugo Lloris one, I think we see a lot of goalkeepers get caught in this situation where he's initially started to come for the cross or looking to come for the cross, has ended up getting boxed in. There's so many people in that 6-yard box. So he's then retreated back towards the line. And, you know, essentially by the time the ball's headed in, he's a good 2-3 yards behind the line. I don't think there's a great deal more he can do here. If he can come for the cross, then great. I think once you can't, it is that one, of course, turn, try and get yourself set. But I just think there were so many bodies in the box. And even now at Premier League level, you know, it kind of brings back memories of 20, 30 years ago where every single ball would be whipped in under the crossbar and you'd have 10 men in the 6-yard box. We don't see that as much in the Premier League now, but it's still such a powerful weapon. I think for a team to crowd the box like that, there's no goalkeeper on the planet that enjoys that because it's so tough to get your movement right, get your footwork right and come and have a free catch. So I think in this situation, he's just tried to get out of the pack, get himself into a position where he might be able to make a save. And as I say, in the end, he wasn't able to get anywhere near where he could possibly have made that save.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
It is the EFL overview starting in the Championship where Carl Darlow made a top save in front of the Sky cameras on Friday evening. It ended 4-4 between Sunderland and Hull, but we shan't let a stop like that pass us by. Excellent reactions from Darlow, Wes Fodderingham and Ben Amos, who I think is up there with Aaron Ramsdale and Jordan Pickford for performance of the weekend. A stunning save apiece from him and Fodderingham in the game involving Sheffield United and Wigan. And Watford's Dan Backman, one word here, I think, head loss.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you could just see when he's got the initial booking, like how pumped up he was and out of control. I think it's fair to say. And I think I haven't had any interviews or anything from him since, but I'm sure that he'd hold his hands up and in that moment...
Hold his legs up.
Yeah, well, it was just bizarre, wasn't it? Because when I've seen he's got the two bookings, and I didn't watch this game live, so I'm watching it on my app, and I've seen that he's got the initial booking, which... could be for anything, which obviously for, well, dissent effectively, wasn't it? And then to get the second booking, I'm thinking, well, there's no penalty given, so what's happened here? And then when you actually see what's happened, how he's got two bookings in such a quick space of time, and yeah, I mean, the challenge he's got, and we talk about goalkeepers not necessarily knowing how to tackle, but yeah, I don't think we can protect him too much on this one, because I'm not too sure what he was trying to do in the corner of the box, kind of head high with his foot up like that. I don't think he ever really stood a chance of staying on the pitch after that. And I think he knew it, but as you said, I think that's probably the word, head loss. Obviously, Watford having a really tough time at the moment, and certainly encapsulated by this result as well. But to mention, obviously, on a positive note, a couple of the lads you mentioned there, Wes Fodringham. Talk about this a lot with Wes, actually, is reactions. Speed of reactions, moves his feet very quickly. He's going right under the crossbar. Great tip over. And Ben Amos, similarly, a couple of reaction saves in there. We talk about the Amos spread quite regularly. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought he, again, was very, very good. Not that this means a lot, but I am a little bit of a geek who checks the XG on a lot of the games. I know that although it was only a 1-0 scoreline, I think according to XG, it should have been 3 or 4-1 according to that. So, yeah, credit to him for the number of saves.
Into League One, where Oxford United and Sheffield Wednesday played out a 1-1 draw at the Kassam. It could have been more for either side had Simon Eastwood not brilliantly denied Malik Wilkes with a save of the weekend contender number 2, and David Stockdale not reacted superbly to keep out Elliot Moore with a save of the weekend contender number 3. Craig McGillivray remaining a focal point of Burton's form upturn, saving from Slobodan Tedic with pretty much the last touch of the game, in which the Brewers bagged 3 points against Barnsley. And Jack Stevens back in for Port Vale, but having a moment that he'd probably like to forget about against Accrington.
Yeah, we'll start with that because, yeah, tough moment for Jack. I still question whether it crossed the line. Again, we've got another one we're going to be talking about shortly on that, which definitely didn't cross the line. But the reason I'll mention this, and again, not making any excuses for goalkeepers, although... I do when I can, but this was a classic one for me. And again, every goalkeeper can relate. Ball hung up. It's one of those horrible ones. Hung up under the crossbar in the sun. And you're watching it the whole way, trying not to be blinded by the sun. And that you could see as he's backpedaling, he's trying to keep his eyes on it. Ends up getting two hands to it. Just mishandles it ever so slightly. But of course, when you're stood on the line, it then, if it did go over the line, it's, you know, by the smallest of margins. It's just one of them where it's frustrating, because anywhere else on the pitch that happens, it's not an issue, because it was under control as much as it was a mishandle. But again, life of a goalkeeper. And there are certain tough situations like that where, you know, you look at it as an outside observer and it perhaps looks like a free catch. It looks reasonably easy. But again, I'm sure all goalkeepers can relate. When that ball's whipped up high under the sun, it's not an easy one to deal with. But look, on a positive, as you say, some top saves this weekend. The Stockdale save, yeah, the speed again. There are a few similar saves like this weekend. You know, we'll talk about the Simon Eastwood one in a minute, where the similarities are speed at which the lads are getting down and getting the fingertips. It's a lovely feeling when that happens, when it's all one movement. You know, when you explode down and you get there perfectly, fingertips, enough of the fingers for it just to go around the post. Top save. And certainly for me, I think the Simon Eastwood one is arguably the save of the weekend. Certainly
it's
up there.
It's behind him.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, you could see the look. I love the look on his face. And I love the look on the attacker's face, because it was like, what has just happened? Because it is one where, look, his footwork's good. Ball's crossed into the box. He's had to drop very quickly. But even, you know, you just see that. That's where it's these small details. If he drops even a foot less than he does, and this ends up in the goal. This most goalkeepers wouldn't have been able to get their positioning right on this. But even in doing that, he's had to go back on himself to get down. And it just all happens in an instant. And I think you could even see from Simon Eastwood, he can't believe he's made the save. It was just, it's one of those where you don't have time to think. It's just pure reactions, pure subconscious that kicks in, and the speed at which he's got down and effectively saved Oxford a point.
Into League Two, Lawrence Vigouroux. Lawrence repeats here, another set of saves to back blank and see Leyton Orient edge closer to League One with a win over Salford. Stevenage sharing spoils with Colchester and in turn utilising their seventh goalkeeper this season. Timothée Lotutala on an emergency loan from Hull and making a vital save from a Luke Chambers header to earn his side a point. Paul Farman, livid with referee Sam Perkis in Barrow's defeat to Crewe. This is what you were talking about earlier. Dan Aguirre with two penalties for the home side, both of which seem to have been taken in slow motion. And Owen Evans, you also mentioned this a moment ago, producing What I'm going to say is one of the smartest pieces of goalkeeping we've seen this season, to be fair, scampering back to prevent a lob from Ethan Brearley going in. Doing that to excellent effect. Goal given by the assistant referee. That made it 4-2 to the home side, Rochdale, who effectively killed off the game with around 25 minutes to go. It's safe to say I think that's one of the worst decisions we've seen this season.
It was atrocious. But it was, and actually I know you put a tweet out about it, and you can obviously see it's nowhere near the line. He was actually quite relaxed about it in the final moments. I mean, just to run through the situation, he's done really well at first. I mean, the thing that frustrates me, actually, he's done really well at first. And again, I've said this a lot on the show, but as a goalkeeper, we can relate, where he hasn't been able to get the contact that he wants. So that's a bit that frustrates me, because that will then potentially get looked at. Well, oh, if he clears it, then it doesn't lead to that situation. Well, look, it happens sometimes. You know, he didn't quite get the contact he wanted, but the speed at which he gets back, and he's in control the whole time. So the ball's being lobbed over his head. He's sprinting back towards goal, watching it. And technically, from that point onwards, perfect. Catches it. Some goalkeepers might choose to pat this down, but again, he wants to try and keep control of the ball. So catches it as he's getting towards his line, tucks it under his arm, does a lovely little spin, and stops it on the goal line. It's a beautiful piece of goalkeeping in this situation. And then to see the linesman, who, by the way, am I allowed to call him linesman? It's not, is it? It's assistant referee.
Assistant referee. Yeah.
See the assistant referee, who is still about 40 yards up the touchline by this point, vigorously waving his flag. Like, you're nowhere near it. How can you make that decision from there? And yeah, I kind of felt like there'd be more of a protest in that moment, because Owen Evans has gone over, a couple of the lads have. But I guess that's the other thing. I guess a lot of the lads up in the pitch wouldn't have been able to see. But yeah, just frustrating that, and I guess that's why we haven't got goal line technology at that level, obviously, but where the linesman's made the call from so far away to be waving his flag in the way that he did. And it was just so clearly not over the line.
He got booked, I think, for his protests, Owen Evans. So you mentioned the tweet there, which we put out. Now, it was about noting the position of the assistant referee. Now, a few people have come back quite rightly, and this isn't what we were going for initially, or I suppose, was going for initially. When I was saying to note the position of the referee, I meant purely from the basis that there's no way he could have seen that the ball was over the line. Not that he was in the wrong position. Because of the passage of play, it was a shot, a speculative shot from about 40 yards, because initially it was a misplaced pass from Owen Evans, who had come out to attack the through ball. Now, the shot was from about 40 yards, so the assistant referee at that time was in the right position, in level with the last man. But it was the fact that he's quite clearly then taken a punt as to whether that ball was over the line or not, and then raced down the line as if to make out like he was level with the goal line at the end to vigorously wave his flag. That's what's so crazy. And there were some replies to that tweet, just to finish on this, from my standpoint, where people were saying this is a disgrace, the assistant referee should be banned. We're not looking for the assistant referee to be panned for this. And I guess putting a tweet out like that sort of does fuel that fire. But what is the answer with this?
Well, I guess goal line technology. Like that is the answer. Because look, the thing is, and you're right, because look, I get it from an assistant referee's point of view, it's tough because you're having to obviously look. So a situation like this is quite unusual, that you're having to look at a potential goal going in or not, and you cannot physically be in line with it at that point. So there's no issue. You know, I'm saying he's 40 yards away. I've got no issue with that. It's the fact that he had such confidence to then be waving his flag so vigorously and give the goal. Surely the rule has to be, you have to be 100% sure. If you're going to make a decision like that, you need to be so sure that you've seen it cross the line from that position. Certainly while the technology is what it is at that level, where they don't have goal line technology, surely it can only be given as a goal if either the referee, the assistant referee, is 100% sure. And I just don't know. And again, whether that was because Rochdale were at home, and, you know, again, I can imagine that in that moment, rush of blood, he's kind of seen it, it's very close to the goal line. And as you say, that's probably the term, he's taken a punt. Cannot have seen from there, because it's not even that, the fact that it wasn't like, you know, we sometimes see these ones on you know, in the Premier League, where they'll do the shot where it's kind of like a computer generated image, and you see it's like a fraction over or a fraction not over, where you've got like the tiniest little slither of the ball that is still on the goal line. There can't have been, from where he was, any moment where he could have seen the line and the ball separate, if that makes sense. So yeah, it was just that, and so frustrating for Owen Evans, because, you know, statistically it's a goal conceded, and as I say, just the fact that he didn't get his clearance quite how he wanted to, that then almost, well, that then becomes part of the highlight reel, which it shouldn't for that particular game.
And goalkeepers make mistakes, right? And sometimes a goalkeeper is dropped, but it's not a given or a matter of fact or a rule that a goalkeeper should be dropped after making a mistake. Should that be any different for officials?
It's a good question. It's a good question because it's, again, it'd be really interesting. And again, I don't have too much knowledge on this side of things, but what the kind of feedback would be on the back of something like that. Because, yeah, essentially he's got excited in that moment and waved for the goal to the delight of all the Rochdale fans. So I'm sure in that actual moment, maybe once then a few people start coming over towards him, he might have had a doubt in his mind. But in that moment in giving it, he's obviously quite happy to give it. I just think it's one that, look, technology is improving all the time and will move down the levels, no doubt. And I know, although saying that, VAR's had another tough weekend, hasn't it? But, you know, certainly with goal line technology, that's one for me that I think is so black and white that as and when they can move it down as far as they possibly can. And again, I'm sure there's a big cost to it, but that is one that it is too difficult for an assistant referee to be able to do that as well as doing all the other stuff that he's having to do in a regular game. So that's essentially the only solution to this. What kind of feedback, or whether he gets reprimanded or whatever, I don't know. I do feel a bit sorry for him if he does, because I appreciate it's such a tough job. But then similarly, as you say, it completely killed off that game.
And just to clear up the rest, we've got Farman, we've got Vigouroux, and we've got Stevenage.
We'll start with Viggs, because that's a really easy one. Just excellent. Two brilliant saves to preserve yet another clean sheet. And, I mean, top saves as well. The one down to his right, again, similar to what we spoke about a few times on this show, where it's that sharp one, connects with it perfectly with the fingers, got enough on it, and his defender then helps him out. And the other save down in the bottom corner, and he's a big guy, so agile. The speed at which he's moved across, that's going right in the bottom corner. And the arch that he's able to get, and the footwork and the power, top saves. And yeah, certainly looking like Orient should claim promotion very soon, and he's been a huge part of that. The Farman one, I mean, I felt his anger. You know, I wanted to run out there with him, because, you know, from what we spoke about last week, the new rules that have just come in, it's just a joke. It is a joke when a player can do this: hop, skip, jump, stop, start again, stop, and then put it in the corner, and that's absolutely fine. Like, what's the point?
He's got away with a technicality here, Aguirre, because he's done what, I don't know whether you remember this, but we spoke to Ben Hamer about a very similar penalty that he conceded from Eberechi Eze when Eze was at QPR. This was about 3 years ago. Same thing. They do the initial run, and then it's almost like a lunge technique where they jump forward with their standing foot and just let their back foot slide ever so slowly from behind them. Now, they get away on a technicality because they never stop moving. Now, I slowed this one right down. And I really wanted to find a moment where Aggie did actually stop, but he didn't. He just managed to keep that foot moving ever so slowly.
Right, and I'm going to keep saying it. And actually, Adam Sells made contact with me as well, mainly about the Ivan Toney thing, as you can imagine. But he made contact. Like, he's got an idea, essentially, where a goalkeeper can move anywhere in the six-yard box. My one is effectively a whistle. You know, a whistle goes and it's the player's live as of that moment. So goalkeeper's on their line. You know, player taking it is going to take a penalty as normal. But as soon as the whistle goes, so then there is a bit of speed. Because, of course, the moment the whistle goes, people can encroach into the box. The goalkeeper can come off their line and it is a live play from that moment. So it's effectively like any other, I say not like any other set piece, but it's effectively a set piece. Whistle goes, right, you've now got a couple of seconds to get your shot away. If the goalkeeper wants to charge at you, they can. If the goalkeeper wants to stand, they can. But then it's so black and white in that moment, whereas I just think penalties now, it's just a mess. I know you still don't buy into it, but it's just a mess. There needs to be something to make it more black and white, and I think there will be in time. I genuinely think we should do that at some point. We should film my idea.
Okay,
we should do that, because I promise you that would make it so black and white. Of course, naturally, it would give goalkeepers more of a chance rather than handcuffing them and blindfolding them to their line. It would give them more of a chance. But it would also make more sense because, of course, really penalties should be more 70% a goal because they're given so easily now. It shouldn't be 95%, which it should be now, given, you know, the way that they've structured it. Anyway, I will move on. What was the other thing you just mentioned?
Well, goalkeepers listening, first and foremost, if you're up for being a guinea pig and involving yourself in that experiment that Richard Lee wants to conduct, then please let us know. But the other goalkeeper, Timotei Lotutala, the splendidly named Lotutala, who has gone in on loan at Stevenage as their seventh goalkeeper of the season. Actually, before we mention him, can you name the six others? We're going to look at this live because I didn't do this research before, so I'm going to do it with you right now. Can you name the six other goalkeepers that have been utilised by Stevenage this season?
Well, we've got Tay Ashby-Hammond, who was excellent. Adam Prishbeck, who stepped in for, came off the bench. We've got Jokul Andreasen, who did play. We've got, obviously, Timotei Lotutala, who, of course, played this weekend. We've got Toby Savin. We'll make it five. We've got McCracken, make it six. And we've got one more.
Didn't play a league game. But he played one FA Cup game and three League Cup games and five EFL Trophy games.
Before he moved up north into non-league and was at Gillingham last season, and it is...
Go on.
Oh, I'm tired. I haven't slept for 36
Extremely
hours.
Extremely tall. He's like a big old boy. He's a big old boy.
I feel really bad now because I've spoke about him so many times over the last few years.
First name's very similar. First name is the same as a goalkeeper we mentioned right at the top of the show.
Spoke about Ben Foster again.
The second goalkeeper we mentioned, who plays in the Premier League for the team at the top of the league at the moment.
Aaron Chapman.
There we go.
No, there you go. That's all seven. Come on, that's good going.
I'm annoyed because
I've spoke about Aaron Chapman so often, I feel, whether it's on this show or to goalkeeper coaches, etc. So, Aaron, if you're listening, I do apologise.
But Timothy Lotutala. We should mention it again. Good performance from him.
Yeah, really good. Really good. Really positive aerially. Came for so many different crosses, distributed quickly. Looked a really good size. Looked like he moved very well. And look, credit to him because it's a big gig to come into. It's been a really interesting emergency loan market this season. You know, whereas I think years gone by, there were maybe more goalkeepers. Spoke about this before, but maybe more goalkeepers in the Championship that might be more established. But you're seeing the likes of McCracken, the likes of Lotutala, who are stepping in and doing what they're doing. Because, look, Stevenage, obviously, it's a massive few weeks ahead, whether they can secure automatic or whether it's going to be playoffs. But the way that he was able to step in and show such confidence, you've got to give him credit. Clean Sheet Club. Well, it's nearing its end. Only a few weeks to go. I've got a feeling someone might have pulled away a little bit further, but we will soon find out. It's time for this. In the Premier League, David De Gea, no crowding in his house. Emi Martinez, 5 cleans in 7 unbeaten. Lukas Fabianski, polished performance. Neto, you betto. Jose Sarr, howling at the Blues. Into the Championship, George Long, successive stalemates. Ethan Horvath, 6-8. Angus Gunn, Scotland's number one. Freddie Woodman, biting back. Wes Fodringham, back-to-back. Andrew Fisher, angling for blanks. Ben Wilson, Kovkeeper. Into League One, Lucas Jensen, wacky-yacky. James Belshaw, the Duke. James Trafford, in contention. Joe Wildsmith, ram, bam, thank you, ma'am. Christian Walton, double figures await. Carl Rushworth, Brighton boy. And Will Norris, 4. Into League Two, Thomas Holy, Brunton blank. Corey Adai, looking broad at the field. Harry Lewis, every game of the season. James Beadle, Brighton boy, Mark 2. Glenn Morris, Jill's Thrills, Joe Day, 2-2. Lawrence Figueroa, same name, different club. Ben Hinchcliffe, Hatter's hero.
So you said that you think the leader may have pulled away. I think it's pretty much as is from last week because Lawrence Figueroa kept a clean sheet, James Trafford kept a clean sheet, Christian Walton kept a clean sheet, Ethan Horvath kept a clean sheet, and so did Ben Wilson. So Vigouroux on 22 in 39, Trafford and Walton on 19 in 39 apiece, Horvath and Wilson on 18, Horvath in 39, Wilson in 37.
Just to mention Christian Walton, is that 9 in a row?
It's 9 in a row. So we should also mention that we were going to initially record on Tuesday after the full complement of Championship and League One and League Two fixtures that are taking place tomorrow. But we just wanted to get in because we were so excited about the fact you'd been recognised. We were so excited about the fact that you jinxed Ivan Toney. And we were so excited about the fact that Aaron Ramsdale had made the performance that he had. And I was so excited about the fact that I would be sitting in your hotel room with the backdrop of Apollo 13, by the way, which has been going on behind you throughout this whole podcast.
I did start watching it and then you arrived. So... Yeah, I don't think I've got the ability to rewind. I mean, I've seen it before, of course. Got a feeling I know what happens. So I will continue watching this once you go.
But yes, as a result, should Walton make it 10, which would be unprecedented in the history of the Clean Sheet Club, we're not going to be able to react to it straight away.
No, which is disappointing. Mm. And the fact that he has climbed the leaderboard this second half of the season in the way that he has. Do you ever used to play Mario Kart?
I still play Mario Kart.
Yeah, it's the mushrooms, wasn't it? The mushrooms that gave you the extra speed, or if you like yes. hit one of the little,
or the like star. That. Now you get the star.
That's what he's got.
That's it. It's the star.
He's
yeah.
got the star, and he's just still got it. He's had it too long. Surely it should have worn off by now. It's unbelievable.
What a signing! Again, we talk about recruitment.
Yeah, No, excellent. Look, I think that from a goalkeeping department, I've got to give a lot of credit to René Gilmartin, goalkeeper coach there. I think he's, you know, one of the brightest young goalkeeper coaches in the country for me. And certainly I know that he's had a big part to play in the goalkeeping department there. I mean, I feel for Vlad Flatke, who's, you know, has been excellent every time he stepped in. Certainly a top League One, if not low-end champ, maybe even mid-champ goalkeeper, just can't get in because Christian Walton's just been faultless.
Speaking of René Gilmartin, to finish on this podcast, the podcast with James Belshaw is currently out. Well worth a listen because his story is quite unique in the rise of a goalkeeper. But I put to him the best goalkeeper that he's ever played with. And he said, Reg.
Did he really?
Yeah, their time at Walsall together.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. Well, look, certainly as a... I know he was as a top goalkeeper, something like 6'6" and built like a... big guy. Yeah.
You feel tiny in his presence.
In his presence. And no, he was got a really interesting career. Obviously went here, there and everywhere. But I think most people that know Reg always felt that he would go on to be a top coach, whether that was outfield or goalkeeping. Just, again, we talk about detail a lot, level of detail, intelligence, understanding the position, a real process behind everything he does. And certainly I think since he stepped in at Ipswich, yeah, they love him there. And for me, whether it's with Ipswich or elsewhere, no doubt he'll go on to be a top Premier League goalie coach.
Good stuff. Okay, Richard, you are here, there and everywhere, aren't you, for the next week or so? But I believe you're going to be back on Monday because I think we're meeting, aren't we?
Yes, that's right.
We 17th.
Are. Yes. Yeah. So we should be able to do another in-person pod.
Lovely.
There you go.
Okay, Richard, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers
Away. Oh, wow.